Good afternoon, Reading. This is Dr. Orna Gill, and you are listening to the Dr. Orna Gill Show. Welcome to KCNR Studios on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, coming through to you with the sounds of women's voices and women's health on Women's Health. I am here with the talented and brilliant Linda Bott, radio hostess extraordinaire, and three very, very special guests talking about a topic that we don't usually talk about. In fact, it's usually a topic we shove under the rug, we whisper about, we ignore, we deny. And today we're going to roar the word. The word is cancer. Cancer in women. And it is important for us to say it, to hear it, to speak it, and to learn about it, because we all can agree that knowledge is power. And as soon as we have this power, we can help one another, and we can fight it, and we can gain control over a process that is, by definition, cells growing out of control. So let's see how we can empower ourselves today. I'd like to take some time to allow our guests to introduce themselves. We have three guests, two in the studio and one calling in, all with cancer. And I'd like you to introduce yourselves, name, age, if you feel comfortable, your cancer, diagnosis, where you are in the treatment, and then we'll go deep into our stories and our messages to our listeners. So please, first to be introduced is Stacy Cairns. Please, Stacy, tell us all about yourself.
My name is Stacy Cairns. I'm 65 years old. I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in August of this year. I had a extensive surgery down at Davis University for about 11 hours, and I spent a week in the hospital, and they did a salpingo oophorectomy. That was a new word for me.
The big one.
Yes. And it's been hell for several months, I'll have to admit. Nothing, I had no expectations. I had no idea what I was going to be going through. It was recommended that I do a series of six chemotherapies. I had two chemos. I'm going to have the next one next Tuesday. My hair fell out on day 20, and that was more than traumatic for me. And I have a lot of very good friends, but I did have a boyfriend that was in my life, and he left me. And I'm just taking one day at a time. Mm-hmm. I have a couple rough days with chemo, and then I have good days. Mm-hmm. So I just cherish the good days and get as much done as I can. Mm-hmm. Chemo brain is real, so lists and post-it notes are all over the place. I have to leave notes on my phone. If I'm going into the bedroom to get socks, I have to say socks, and then walk in there and then look at my note, because I forget by the time I get in there.
Wow.
It's that real.
Wow. We're going to talk about how you all found out and learned about your cancer in just a minute. I'd like to have Charlie Carter. Please introduce yourself to us all.
Hi, my name is Charlie Carter. I'm 42. I have a beautiful 24-year-old daughter, 18-year-old son, and a 2-year-old grandson. Thank goodness, because I had two procedures. The first one not as invasive as the second one. It's called a LEAP. And the second, unfortunately, it didn't clear the margins. So I went back to UC Davis and had a radical hysterectomy, which resulted in a vertical incision that went from the pelvic area up past my belly button, which, when the doctor gave me that news, was a real blow, because it's my body. Even if I were to cover it up for the rest of my life, which I don't even wear two pieces anymore. So I couldn't put my finger on why exactly that was devastating, but I do have to see myself in the mirror. And when I asked the doctor, what would you do? Because she was giving me choices and empowering me to, you know, have that choice. And it could have been a lower pelvic cesarean type incision or vertical. But I said, what would you do? And she said, if it was my sister or my mother, I would say, do it. Make sure you get it all, because you could end up back here. I was diagnosed at the end of June 2019, and doesn't seem like very long ago, but it feels like forever, because when you're going through so many things that you're unsure of, it's devastating, because it's not talked about a lot. There's a stigma with cervical cancer that you're out there or fast or had many partners or something. And in my case, that wasn't the case. It was probably brought on very young when I had my daughter, my first child. I think Dr. Gale can fact check me or verify that it's a very slow growing cancer. And it takes a long time to develop. So after getting the news that I had cervical cancer, it was rough. I had to tell my kids, but I had to be strong. I didn't want them to worry. It was serious enough to be distraught over, but not. I knew the type of cancer it was what would most likely have a good outcome, because where the cancer was located was removable. So, a little shaky.
That's okay. That's a very good introduction, actually. And we have another caller. We have a caller on the line who will be joining us for the entirety of our show. Nicole Altshuler is a breast cancer patient right now. I'd like you to introduce yourself, Nicole, to our audience and to our studio right now. Look forward to hearing your story briefly about how old you are and how what cancer you have and, you know, where you are in the process. And a little further down the line in this show, we're going to go through each and everyone's story about how we found out about it. And what, you know, what that process was to learn about it, and how that's an important part of the message that we're trying to transmit to our listeners, is how you learn and find out about it.
Well, hello. Yes, my name is Nicole. Finding out I do have breast cancer, I'm 34 years old with a toddler, which is difficult even without cancer. And you know, finding out about my cancer was something completely random and unknown. I'm 6 years away from my first mammogram, and I happened to brush against my breast and found a lump. I was very determined, and I mean I was on top of it when it came to getting a diagnosis, but like any diagnosis, it's crushing. You know, you come to this realization of, wow, I have cancer. And really the little things are the hardest, for me, at least. It's not quite the chemo. It's the physical things that change, you know, losing your hair, losing your sex drive, losing your energy. It's things that are still, that you can't really comprehend. Not you, but one can't comprehend. I still can't do it myself. I look in the mirror and I don't even recognize myself, but it's not you know, it's not just fighting, it's surviving and doing what you have to do because you have to do it. There's no other option. So that's a little story in my little recap.
That's an amazing story, incredible story. We are
about ready to take a break, but I will say, you know, from a person in the room today listening to, you know, there's healing for, I believe, all of us as we tell our stories and share. Many of us, some people don't want to come forward. And I think it's really important to talk about it. So I think they put the bravery cap on all of you today.
Yeah.
And we do have to take a break here on KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. This is the Dr. Orna Gill Show, and you don't want to leave the station. We'll be right back.
This is my fight.
Experience the life and story of artist and World War II veteran John Schuller through his paintings and memoirs in Turtle Bay's exhibit, Lost Man Blues, John Schuller, Art and War. Open now until April 26th. Learn more about this must-see art exhibition at turtlebay.org.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
The Active 2030 Club of Reading has done it again and made the 12th annual Sundial Film Festival free to attend. Action, drama, adventure, comedy. The Sundial Film Festival will feature films of all styles from local filmmakers. With an afternoon showing at 2 p.m. and an evening showing at 7 p.m., there's something for everyone. The 12th annual Sundial Film Festival will be taking place March 7th at the Cascade Theater. Free tickets to both showings are limited. So grab your ticket today at sundialfilmfestival.com. That's sundialfilmfestival.com.
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Join the adventure in Turtle Bay's new exhibit, Treasure, open now until May 3rd. Learn about the history, people, and technology of treasure hunting and get involved with fun, hands-on activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back, Reading, and our beloved listeners to KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Your Talk Radio. You're here with me and Linda Bott and three extraordinary women who are sharing with us all their experiences with cancer. We want to talk about cancer in women because it's a topic that we don't talk about enough, we don't deal with enough, and it's one that we can start to learn about. How do we prevent it? How do we take care of ourselves? How do we ask others to take care of us? And what do we, you know, what expectations do we have of others, and how can they, how can friends and family change their attitudes and learn how to support and not turn away from this disease? So just a couple of quick facts here. The CDC, the Centers of Disease Control, which is a federal agency, states that the most common cancer in women in the U.S. is actually skin, but those are largely easily managed and not as difficult to miss, actually. But the number two is breast cancer, number three lung, four colorectal, five uterine, then ovarian and cervical subsequent to that. So we're going to talk to our friends in the studio and to Nicole Altshuler. Thank you for joining us from San Diego on the phone. We're going to talk about, yes, thank you, and we're going to talk about how you came to find out what, I mean, I think that Charlie spoke a little bit about what happened. Nicole, you told us a little bit how that happened. Stacy, would you mind to share with us how, what the process that came about that you went through to find out that you had cancer of the ovary?
Well, last August, I was dealing with my parents' estates. Both my parents had died. I thought I was really struggling with depression. I was moving and packing up a lot of boxes and such. I thought I had a hernia. And I had also had a belly all of a sudden, and I have never had a belly. But a long story short, I was doing some yard work, and I got stung by some bees, and so I had to go to the hospital. I was wearing flip-flops, and the nurse said, "How come your feet are so swollen?" And I said, I have no idea. So she said, "Here, pee in a cup." So they did a urine test, and then they came back and said I was having some problems. Then they felt my abdomen and said, "We're going to have to refer you to another doctor." And that's where I met Dr. Orna Gill.
Yeah, and then after that, we went down this very long road. One of the things I wanted to ask everyone in the group is, what were your expectations when you found out? I know everyone was in shock and grief and fearful. What expectations did you have? Which ones were actually the expectations? When were you actually right about what to expect, and when were you wrong about what to expect? Who wants to start here?
Well, I know for me, I had no expectations. In fact, the shock was so overwhelming that there was no capacity to expect anything. Just now, I'm about 3 months in from my diagnosis, am I starting to process and be able to absorb what's actually going on as I'm coming here to the end of my chemotherapy treatment. I don't think anyone expected this or anticipated it. It changes your life dramatically, so instantaneously that it's, I guess, shocking in itself. So that was my experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the other women.
Yeah, who wants to go next? Maybe Stacy, would you like to tell us what your expectations were and how they were met or not met at all?
Boy, I try not to have expectations because that always gets me in trouble. But I was afraid of dying. I mean, that was number one because I'd had cancer before in my 20s, and I'd had surgery, and it was taken care of, and I didn't have chemo, so I thought I had everything licked. A couple years ago, I had a pap smear, and they said, "Oh, at your age, you don't need to come back." And so I thought I was home free. And that was the last thing I expected, was to have cancer. And I don't know. Dr. Orna told me she was going to hold my hand through the whole thing, and bless your heart, you did. And when I was told I had to go out of Reading to have the surgery, that made my anxiety 10 times worse. And but I have some very good, I have a wonderful daughter and 2 best friends that went down there with me, and they stayed while I had the surgery. It was the most painful experience I've ever had in my life. I can say that beyond. But your mind is wonderful. It forgets the pain. So, and then all of a sudden you kick in and you're alive, and my antigen scores have gone down. I fought chemo, and I remember talking to Orna and crying, saying, I don't want to do this. And she said, well, you survived 6 weeks with a catheter. You can survive anything. So I knew she was right there. So chemo isn't as bad as I expected. It's not good. It's not fun. But I have read a book called How to Starve Cancer Without Starving Yourself. And so I cut out a lot of my diet. I fast 2 days before I have chemo, and I fast 2 days afterwards. I have not puked.
Did that really help you, fasting?
Tremendously. The only thing that I have during that time is water, and when I'm hungry, I have coconut oil, MCT oil.
Wow. Okay.
And that controls your hunger pain, and it feeds your brain the fats that you need. And it's made all the difference in the world. The first chemo treatment that I had, I was so sick. And when I got sick, it was, I never did acid, but I always tell everybody I had a bad acid trip because my throat burned. And then when I went
to... take the Neulasta shot?
Yeah, reluctantly I did that. They put it on my arm the first, and then I switched it to my stomach so it wasn't as painful. I haven't had any side effects from that other than this week I thought I had chicken pox, and I went back to the doctor, and I just have a rash all over my body. I was kind of hoping I did have chicken pox so I could postpone the chemo. It's amazing.
What type of chemo are you on right now?
Carboplatin and... Okay. Taxotere.
Taxol. Yeah, you guys are on the same. You guys are on the same stuff. So,
yeah.
Just so you know. Yeah.
And I find that when I fast, I feel better. I don't have the nausea, and ironically, I have gained 10 pounds.
So have I.
Oh, you're awesome.
Yeah.
So have I, but I haven't been able to lose the nausea. Despite the anti-nausea drugs that I've been given. But I'm still throwing up. I'm going to try your fasting method.
Yeah, get the book, How to Starve Yourself, or How to Starve Cancer Without Starving Yourself.
Starve Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody wants to do that. All right, that's just an excellent start to this discussion. And, Charlie, would you care to discuss with us how... what expectations you had and what expectations were met and which weren't, or...
Okay.
We should take a break, and when we come back, we'll begin with Charlie.
Okay.
Sounds great.
So we're going to take a break. It's the Dr. Orna Gill Show here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. So happy to have you with us here on this Thursday night on North State. Now we'll be right back.
Thank you. I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Listen here, you little twit.
Matilda the Musical is the story of an extraordinary girl who, with a sharp mind, proves that even if you're little, you can do a lot. Inspired by the genius of Roald Dahl, Matilda the Musical is packed with high-energy dance numbers, catchy songs, and an unforgettable cast. Children and adults alike will be thrilled and delighted by the story of Matilda. The Cascade Theatre presents Matilda the Musical, March 20th through 29th. Tickets at cascadetheatre.org or 243-8877.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. Puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Welcome back, Reading, and to our beloved listeners. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. This is Dr. Orna Gill talking to you on the Dr. Orna Gill Show. We are talking today about cancer in women, and we have the privilege of speaking with Dr. Pramila Dhanuka, who is a cancer expert and director of the PACE Cancer Center here. And I wanted to welcome you, Dr. Dhanuka, and thank you for participating and lending us your knowledge and expertise. And can you begin by introducing yourself, telling us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about the advice you can give us and insight you can provide us on women in cancer.
Sure. Thank you for having me. Privilege is mine to be invited on your show, Anna.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I am here in Reading. I practice oncology. I've been here for 14 years, and I work at PACE Cancer Center on Court Street, 2145 Court Street. So I don't know what the format we are going to follow, if you can, but I'm willing to participate whichever way I can in the program so we can move forward in this.
Wonderful. So we were just talking to our three guests here in the studio. We have Stacy, Charlie, and Nicole. Mm-hmm. Stacy has ovarian. Charlie has cervical, and Nicole has breast cancer. So we're trying to bring forward the stories of how we discovered the cancer and how what messages we give to our fellow women and to all of the women who may be at risk or exposed or in some way not knowing that they have these cancers. And then also we wanted to talk about how the message we want to give to those around people with cancer, how to take care of them, how to react, and how to best support. So from my point of view, my question to you, and I'm going to also ask our guests to ask you questions if possible.
Sure.
How do we detect in ourselves cancer? How do we prevent cancer? Tell us about your the science and philosophy that you have in with regards to these two issues.
In all the three or like general?
Go ahead.
Specifically one particular cancer, or we are talking general health care?
Let's talk about general health care, and then we can go into more specific ones as you go on.
Okay. So most of the women-related cancers that we see, I kind of like divide it in two groups. General health care that we all can improve in our modifiable factors, and then non-modifiable factors. So modifiable factors is how our living environment changes that can affect us having risk factors for the cancer. Or non-modifiable are something like our genetic makeup, right? Mm-hmm. And to some extent, it can be environmental also. When we are living in a particular area, we are really not able to change the environment around us, then it can become a non-modifiable factor as well. So thinking in those lines, like there are choices we make sometimes, and there are things which we can make a difference in our own life, healthy living. So in general, like GYN cancers are quite a lot affected with the hormonal status of the women.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if you are looking at ovarian and we are looking at endometrial. Cervix, not so much, but those two definitely have linkages to our hormonal status. And so longer women who are having longer hormonal active estrogen age or active ovarian function do run into a higher risk. So early menarche, late menopause, those women would be at a higher risk for that. And when there are certain additional lifestyle changes like smoking, alcohol, those can affect there. Another issue can be like cervix cancer, especially and sometimes in ovarian, you can have like risk of having multiple sex partners. That can be a risk factor there. So some of those things we have to keep a watch out and be careful for ourselves. Then the non-modifiable factors are like genetic history, family genetic history. If we know that some other people in our family are having cancers, we should be more vigilant for ourselves and like checking and knowing. So sometimes knowledge is a gift here. So those things would be very helpful as well. And in that situation, early screening and more closer screening would be helpful in preventing those cancers there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And the screening that we're talking about in the particular cancers that we're examining today, which are breast, ovary, and cervical, mm-hmm. I know some of the breast screening is controversial and certainly didn't really help Nicole very much. Mm-hmm. How do you counsel young women and older women in terms of how to screen for breast cancer by themselves, by their doctors, and then eventually with mammos?
Right. The difficult part is, like in a younger patient, screening actually doesn't help much because of those very, very reasons, because the breasts are dense and mammogram is not able to pick up as early. So sometimes mammogram is not helpful in those cases. And if somebody has a family history or they know more than two members in their family having it or close cousins having it, then they need to be screened from a different criteria. And in those situations, MRI screening are sometimes much more helpful and are actually approved by insurance in, most of the time, if they, as long as they're able to prove they have a higher risk of genetically getting it.
There's much we can do for screening.
There isn't, yeah. That's the unfortunate part is ovarian cancer, the numbers are not that high, and on top of it, by the time we find it, it's already most of the time advanced.
And what about cervical cancer? How do you screen for that, and how do you prevent that?
Actually, cervical cancer screening has done a lot. You know, worldwide incidences have reduced. Even in U.S., the numbers have actually improved a lot. And especially, I think, it's this pap smears that we have been doing. It's one of the screenings that I'm very impressed with, and I think that makes a huge difference for all of us women because of the screening that we are able to do. So the recommended guidelines for this screening, we should follow those, like especially sexually active women. Early on, they recommend any from, I think, 21 onwards to, if I'm remembering it right, it's done every 3 years.
That's correct.
And then subsequently, it is every 5 years after that, right?
Yes, at age 30, you can start every 5 years as long as you get an HPV assay with that.
Right, HPV checking with that. So I think those screening really helps. And it identifies high-risk people early on, and then we can monitor them more closely, and that's the way to prevent actually life-threatening cervix cancer.
What do you think about the HPV vaccine, Pramila?
I think it's good. It's actually good, and even though it's not covering everything, but it is the major cancer-causing viruses are actually controlled by, so most of them, the 6, 10, 16, and 18, I think those four
right.
are high risk. And out of them, also, it's just, I think it's 6 and 10.
That's right.
Yeah, so those two are the high risk. So as long as we are able to get the vaccine, it definitely helps prevent the high risk viruses which can cause cancer.
That's right, even though
it may not sometimes prevent all of them.
100% true. I think you can get your first dose at 11 or 12 years old,
right.
And those doses are 6 to 12 months apart. If you're older than 15, it's 3 doses within 6 months. And the vaccine is recommended for men and women, children, everything,
right.
up until the age of 45. We see that cancer among teens, cancer and HPV-mediated warts, cervical cancer, has gone down 71% in young adults, 40% in women, 86% in teens with
HPV.
Yeah,
that's wonderful statistics there.
Yeah.
Right there, it shows the benefit of taking them.
Yeah, so that's something that we want to make sure that we use this platform for. Charlie, can you give us a little insight about what happened with your detection and your diagnosis and the message you give to people in order to prevent this?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Cancer.
In fact, why I agreed to come on the show. Because I learned that the vaccine wasn't available until 2006. Well, I'm 42, so if I can reach women my age, younger women that haven't had the vaccine yet, I'll be forever grateful for those people who don't have to go through what I went through. But I first started having issues when I started bleeding. Mm-hmm. And it was a few months of that, and I went to my regular primary, and they referred me to a specialist, Dr. Gill. And I found out through a colposcopy, which they take a sample of my cervix, and that I had cancer. So after that, we had a game plan.
Okay, should we take a little break?
Sure, take a quick break.
A quick break, and we'll come back and gather those thoughts.
Yeah.
And Dr. Danuka, hold on. And, of course, Nicole, hold on. And you're listening to KCNR. We'll be right back with the Dr. Orna Gill Show.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique abilities. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebration, continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Welcome back, Reading. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Your Talk Radio. This is the Dr. Orna Gill Show, and I am Dr. Orna Gill. I am here with an amazing group of women, Stacy, Charlie, Nicole, Dr. Danuka, Linda Bott. We're talking about the word and the disease and the life and the help that we all need to and the knowledge that we all need to have about cancer. And I want to get started with, again, Charlie, you were talking to us about cervical cancer, which you have, and which you have undergone treatment for, and we talked about how to prevent it. Tell us a little bit more about your message to women with regard to that.
Okay. Just coming from a place of being a single mom and working a lot, I got complacent. Other things were more important, working, making money, taking care of the kids, school, everything. So I felt fine, so I didn't think I needed those yearly checkups. Or I think last estimated, before seeing Dr. Gill, was probably 8 years since I had had a PAP. And life gets in the way. I had moved to Las Vegas and back. Since then, I've lived in San Diego. And a lot goes on in life. That just happens. What I want to get out there is how important it is to get the vaccine. My daughter has had it, my son has had it, and how important it is to go to your checkups, to make that time, to make an appointment, so that everyone has information and knowledge about what's going on in their own body. Like I said, there was no symptoms, so you can't just say, I feel fine, so I don't want to go. Your gynecologist is not just for having babies or, you know, infertility, or you have to take care of yourself. You definitely have to keep checking on your health, especially if you are not married. I don't know if that's valid or not, but, you know, any other questions for me?
That's all good. No, I really appreciate it. What about you, Stacey? Do you have any messages regarding how you recommend people to learn from your experience?
Well, I had bloating. I felt bloated, but I dismissed that just the way that I was eating, and then I switched to the keto diet. I went off sugar. I went off carbs to lose weight because I felt I had a belly for the first time in my life. And the only symptoms that I had was sex was painful. Mm-hmm. And then it became more and more painful, and I blamed it on a hernia. And had I not had that, I would not have gone to the doctor.
Hmm. Interesting. And, Nicole, do you have any advice? I know we heard from Dr. Danuka about how to prevent, how to screen, how to talk to your relatives. How do you? What do you want us to take away from your, in terms of your message?
I want my message to be that it takes a village to, I don't want to say overcome, but to maintain and to deal with this diagnosis and prognosis. And something that's been hard for me to do is to rely on people to help and to care for me, because it's not a natural thing for, I think, most women to do. And that's something I'm learning to do, is I can't do it all. And it's okay to lean on people and take some help.
Mm-hmm. I have found, I'm Stacy, and I found that it's so hard for me to accept help, and it's nearly impossible for me to ask for help. And that has been the hardest thing. People,
very hard. I agree.
My friends all say, oh, if you need anything, I'll help you.
Right.
And then when I ask them, they can't do anything. They can't. They're busy. Or they have a cold or a snivel or the flu, and they can't come around.
Right. And
I already have been back in the hospital once from getting an infection, so I don't want to go back there again.
No, and it's extremely difficult for myself. I have a 3-year-old, and people just say, oh, well, what can I do to help? I can't move, so can you take care of my 3-year-old? And usually that answer is no, and not because I ask, but because I don't ask. So I think just being supportive and out there for anyone knows that has cancer of any sort, to just really be available. Even if you're not available, just being available is so important to at least my mental health, knowing that there's a village and people that care and that still love me, because it's hard to love yourself without any hair or...
Boy, that's the truth.
Yeah.
No, that is very true. This is Dr. Danuka. I mean, this is very important what they are saying. I see this all the time in my practice when we have patients, somebody we are trying to get on treatment, chemotherapy. It's so hard for families to deal with, and the patient themselves. But patients who have a group of people around them, they actually eventually do much better than the other group. So our social support, our friends, our family, they really help us in more than one way. And it's not just mental, physical, everything, every way, and it helps healing. I really believe it, you know, our whole, how we feel about it, it goes a long way for us.
I agree. Charlie has a question for you, Dr. Danuka.
Hi. As far as the HPV virus, mm-hmm. when young women go in, is there a special screening? Do they need to ask for it? Or is it included in the PAP exam itself?
PAP, it's included in the PAP. They do regular, for younger age group, they do more frequently. But it's the same. HPV testing separately is done later. Mm-hmm. But PAP includes cytology.
Yeah, it's a PAP smear. Now we call it thin PAP. It's basically we take some cells from the cervix.
Right.
And we wash that, sort of like strain them out. So it's not just a smear. It's like an actual straining process, and then they plate them out, take a look, stain them. And a computer eye actually looks at it and looks to see how much DNA is inside those cells.
Right.
The more DNA you have, the more bad that is. So that's how the computer eye basically calculates out what is normal and abnormal. And so that's why, you know, that you can get your thin prep, or your, as we call it, the pap smear, that's the old name. But, yeah, you can get it when you have your period. You can get it when you have, an infection. You can get it whenever you want. Now it's fine. You just need to go in and get it done. And in general, HPV testing is recommended to be done, even if you have had the HPV vaccine.
Right.
And so HPV testing along with pap smears, as we is a very important aspect of screening and self-help healthcare, and it's an excellent, excellent point. You're listening to the Dr. Orna Gill Show, and we're sitting here with some very honorable and generous people who are sharing with us their experiences and advice with regard to cancer in women. And so we're back from a short break, and we'd like to wrap up the show with a positive message that I want each one of you, if you can find one, to give to the community of people listening to you, women, men, everyone in between. We want to hear from you something positive to take us out of a very dark and painful and serious issue that we all hope to survive together and overcome. I want to start with Stacy, please.
I think the most important thing that I can express is, if you know someone with cancer, don't wait for them to ask for help. Don't wait for them to call. Go knock on their door and take an apple or take a bowl of soup or purified water. Just let them know that you care, because it's the hardest thing that I've ever gone through in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. Charlie, tell us what you have to tell everyone. Give us a positive.
Basically, just keep up on your screenings. If I would have done that, I probably wouldn't have had such an expensive surgery. It would have been easier to take care of. But also, men have this, and you can get your sons.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.